Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Yeah, let's do this. How good is that? You guys excited to be in church tonight? I'm also pumped. It's so good to be here. And if you are new, maybe this is the first time you've come with a friend, you're checking out our church. We are just so stoked that you chose to spend your rainy Sunday night with us. And who's a fan of the weather, the rainy weather? Yeah, it's not bad. Hey, it's like full lulling me to sleep at night. It's the dream. And we've been praying for rain for our state. And what's awesome is about this rain, it's been hitting lots of the countryside as well as the coast. So let's thank God for that. Pray that it's a real blessing to our state. But yeah, like I said, if you are new, so good to have you here. And we have people that are brand new to church every single week. In fact, this afternoon we had a course called Right Believing. And we had 17 people in that course. It's a course for brand new Christians. And I think we should give God some glory. 17 people this afternoon jammed into that room. And five people during that session made a decision to give Jesus their life. So come on, let's honor God. There's a lot going on. It's very, very, very exciting. And, you know, after my message, there will be an opportunity for people in the room to actually, in your own heart, make a decision to say yes to God. And I want to encourage you, even if you've never been to a church like this, God loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And all you need to do is open up your heart and say, all right, God, if you love me and you've got a plan and a purpose for my life, then I'm going to trust you and I'm going to walk with you. And so later in the service, I'll give you an opportunity just to pray a simple prayer. And it's a prayer that really is a powerful prayer that can transform your life forever, which is amazing. Now, give me a quick show of hands if you have been a part of our church for less than 1 year. Give us a wave. Stacks of people. How cool is that, right? Now, yeah, give it up for the people that have been here for... We're a Pentecostal church, I'll tell you what. So basically what that means is we clap at every opportunity because we're just pumped on life. But if you've been here for less than 1 year, then this would be the first time you've been a part of what we do every single June, which is so significant and so powerful for us here at Horizon Church. You know, this week I was thinking back over, you know, what's been an amazing history. Our church has been here for 70 years. And I was thinking about all the encounters, all the breakthrough moments, all the healings, all the salvations, all the mid-service, you know, touch from heaven moments. I'm just thinking back over these years, how many people have encountered God or had a life-transforming moment in this room or in one of the buildings that we have had as a church? You know, I can't even begin to count them. And then when I think about my own life, I don't even think I can begin to count in my own life how many moments I've had in this room, how many moments I've had, you know, whether it be at a camp that we're running or something that's going on. It is incredible how much God has done in every single heart. What's amazing is 70 years ago, there were a group of people that came together and they all pitched in, chipped in, and they literally, physically, brick by brick, built the first church on this site. I'm talking brick by brick. And, you know, over the years, they have been joined by thousands of faithful people who have built the church. You know, maybe they didn't put brick by brick, but they gave money towards these moments where we receive an offering towards the future of our church, towards paying down the debt for the beautiful building that we are a part of right now. People have risen in faith and they've given to this thing. And do you know who's the recipient? I am, you are, we all are, and we need to thank God for the faithfulness of the people that have gone before us. And we also need to recognize the moment, the opportunity before us next week to rise in faith and in our time to do what God has called us to do as a congregation, because those people didn't know that I would walk into this church all those years later. And to be honest, we don't know who's going to walk into our church all the years to come. And we just need to, in faith, be obedient to God and see what He has called us to do as a group come to pass. Does that sound all right? Now, I just want to quickly get practical with you guys, and then we're going to jump straight into the Word of God. But on your seat, you'll see this amazing brochure, 2020 Vision Brochure. That's one of the best ways you can figure out a little bit about this season and where our church is at. And it's an amazing thing to read, take home, sit down over a cup of tea, pray about it, and really seek God. What is it that you would have me do as a part of this offering? And within that booklet is this give card. And next week, this is sort of the main way that we will participate in the offering. And I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things, right? On this give card is a blue section and an orange section. Now, that blue section is basically the gift that we are giving next week. And that's a one-off gift. It's a gift where we say, this is the amount that I'm choosing to give next Sunday. And for some people, like Milani and I, it will be the completion of our faith promise over the previous 12 months. And so we'll be giving our final installment next week and just, you know, thanking God that he's allowed us to fulfill what he spoke to us about 12 months ago. So that's what the blue bit's about. And then the orange one is actually about, you know, making a commitment to what you believe God's called you to do as an individual, as a couple, as a family for the year to come. So for example, my wife, Melania and I, this is how we choose to give what God's put on our heart. We ask God for an amount and then we are like, all right, God, we're going to in faith give this much and believe in faith for opportunities to make up the difference. And so that amount there is a declaration that says, this is what I'm believing God will do through my life and our life in the year to come. So think about that this week. Pray about that this week and come next week ready. And if you do have any questions about the offering, we have got an incredible finance director, Steve Lamb, over there, the beast. And he's a genius. And we've also got some of our board members, Gary MacArthur, and some others that are in the reception after the service if you've got any questions. Sound good? All right. Well, we got through some of that practical gear and I am excited to jump into the words. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 4. This is what it says. It says this. It says, now the king, we're talking about Solomon here. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. It was the place where the tabernacle was and the bronze altar at the time, or the bronze sea at the time. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Wow, mate, talk about a barbecue. That is next level barbecue. 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask. What shall I give you? I want you to jump quickly with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read verse 24. This is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And these are two scriptures that I just really believe God is going to use as a foundation for this message. So I want to share a message tonight that I've titled, When Opportunity Knocks. And I'm going to pray and ask God to bless this. So God, we just thank you so much that you are here tonight. You want to help us to see you more clearly. You want to help us to understand you and your heart to have revelation. God, we thank you that tonight you're going to open up our eyes, open up our hearts. And through us, God, you're going to partner with us to see some amazing things happen in the future of our beautiful church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we have a family dog called Honey, right? Now, Honey came to us in sort of, you know, the later years of her life. She was 9 years old when she arrived in our family. Now, Honey, she wasn't quite a rescue dog, but she was from a family down the south coast, and the owner, he had to move back to Sydney, so he gave the dog to his parents. They weren't home much, so Honey found herself sitting at this house literally all day, every day by herself, and during that time, she sort of, you know, became diagnosed with severe anxiety, and she was on antidepressants. I know. Did you even realize dogs can be on antidepressants? So this dog was so anxious, it was so stressed out, and they were just like, we can't look after this dog. She's so needy. She's got so many needs. And so we, you know, saw her on Gumtree, and we are just like, hey, a free dog, we'll take it. Thank you very much. They're like, she's got some anxiety problems. We're like, hey, it's all good. It's free. Send her up. We've got a dog now. It's great. Now, when she came, she was very needy. She was, you know, always, you know, in your face and wouldn't leave you alone. And And my dad, he went on this like mission to figure out how can I help this dog to you know move forward in life, right? So dad goes online and he finds this guy called Doggy Dan. Now I'm telling you, if you need help with your dog, find this guy online. He is like half human, half dog. The guy is like fluent in all canine languages. He is a genius. And he started to, you know, do these lectures and my dad started to watch. And what we quickly realized is that the reason my dog was so anxious is because my dog thought that it was the leader of our pack. And so what would happen is we would all leave for the day and my dog would be stressing about where her pups are. Where's my pack? And then she would hear a loud noise, say at a construction site or something, and she would freak out wondering about where are my humans? What am I going to do? So she would try and escape, try and jump to come looking for us. So the answer to her anxiety was to actually help her realize that she was not the boss dog, that she could relax. And so through some practical measures that Doggy Dan taught us, we were able to recalibrate our dog's thinking so that our dog realized that it was not the lead dog and it didn't have to worry about us. It didn't have to take responsibility for us and it could just relax, right? And so now we have my dad and my family as the lead dogs and then Honey, our dog, under them, relaxed. And then unfortunately, for some reason, is me. Still, my dog thinks she's the boss of me. And I am just like, no. I've tried all the Doggy Dan tricks. I'm like, what is going on? Somehow, I am still under my dog's supervision. And you know what? I can tell you all I want about how much I'm the boss and, you know, I'm the alpha dog and whatnot. But the truth has a funny way of sort of revealing itself, you know, in mysterious ways. But for example, the other night we're in life group. Got a stack of our crew here. Where's my life group at? I see you guys. And we're in life group and I'm like, oh, I'll just put the dog downstairs because she was being pretty annoying. So I'm like, all right, honey, come on, let's go downstairs. My dog's sitting over there, just looks at me. I'm like, honey, come on, let's go downstairs. Come on, honey, let's go. Dog just looks at me and I look at my dog. And then everyone looks at the dog and then everyone looks at me. And then I look at the dog and I look at everyone and I'm like, honey, come on. And Honey's just like, sits down. And I'm like, guys, it's all good. I'm honey, you're embarrassing me. So I grab her by the collar. I'm like, come on, honey, let's go. Let's go, right? And my dog's just like, like denying me. I'm like, and I had to eventually be like, Milani, can you get the dog out, please? And Milani's like, honey. And she's like, out she goes, right? Oh, are you serious? I am definitely not the pack leader of this dog. Now, it's funny, but the truth is, no matter what I say to you, the truth has a funny way of revealing itself. And Jesus is in this verse, you know, Matthew chapter 6. He's in this society at the time and he's looking around and he's hearing one thing, but he's seeing something something else on a deeper level. And he starts to be like, look, I know you guys are all about serving God and about, you know, you're saying that God is the one that you worship, but I'm starting to see under the surface that some of you guys, you're not actually worshiping God, you're actually worshiping money. And he's starting to see, he's like, hey, you guys actually, you know, that's not gonna work out for you guys, you know. He goes on to say, you cannot serve both God and money. It's amazing, this word money in the Greek is the word mammon. And basically, it doesn't just mean like cash, doesn't just mean money, it means like personified wealth. Personified wealth, and it is this person of wealth that these people seem to trust in. They think, you know what? Wealth is my provider. Wealth is the one that will protect me. The more of it I have, the safer I will be. My hope is in my wealth. If I can get more wealth, I can do more things. And the hearts of the people were turned towards wealth, were turned towards mammon, were turned towards this thing that they thought could be their God. Wealth is my God. Now, let's be honest for a second. Looking around today, you know, in our society, in our community, in our lives even, I think it's safe to say that same observation can be made right now. This isn't an ancient Near East phenomenon. This is like a human phenomenon where we start to put our trust and our, you know, our belief in things like wealth. We start to think that that's what I need to have peace. just a bigger paycheck, and then all of a sudden, I know if I can just make a little bit more, all of a sudden the stress will leave. My anxiety will dissipate. Oh man, I'm not enjoying my life, but if I could just get a few more things to add to my life, then all of a sudden I know that then I will enjoy my life. But I don't know about you, money and things, I don't know anyone who has had that perception that if they just get a little bit more, that they will be okay. I don't know anyone that has had that perception that has eventually got to the point where they are like, yes, finally, got it. The car, it did it, right? Maybe for a moment, yes. But hey, guess what? The next year model is going to come around and you'll be like, my car is old. I need an upgrade. And sooner or later, time reveals that you cannot put your hope or trust in money. Now, you would have been asked this question at some point in your life, and you know, it's an interesting question to throw around. It's the question of what would you do if you won the lotto? And you sort of think, what would I do if money was not a problem anymore? What if I could just have all the money I needed? Do you know, it's actually a great revealer of where our hearts are at, what we would do if we were to win the lotto. And what's interesting, though, is like our lives, if mammon or wealth is our God, are all about collecting, adding, building these things into our life so that we may have more peace, more strength, more security. And as we do that, we think that's what I'm after. So lottery, if you were to win a bulk amount of money, could almost immediately do what you would have been working towards your entire life. So a lot of people say, instead of having to work towards the house that'll make me secure, instead of having to work towards the car and the toys that'll make me enjoy my life more, I can have it now. And so they literally personify, or they create from this money, this God, this mammon God. They are like, this is all the things that I think I need to be happy in life. And they create this thing. And what's interesting, as many of you would know, is that so many people who, once they have created that, realize that that is not at all what they were hoping for. How's this, right? Studies found that instead of getting people out of financial trouble, winning the lottery got people into more trouble. Since bankruptcy rates soared for lottery winners 3 to 5 years after winning. So these people are winning the lottery 3 to 5 years later, are declaring bankruptcy. So this one guy, Jack Whittaker, he won $315 million. That's like serious coin right there. That is some cash money. He wins $315 million in lottery in West Virginia in 2002, and he tells Time this: I wish that we had torn the ticket up. Since winning, Whittaker's daughter and granddaughter died due to drug overdoses. Just 8 months after winning, he was robbed of $545,000. And this is what he said: I just don't like Jack Whittaker. I don't like the hard heart I've got. He said, I don't like what I have become. Don McNay, a financial consultant to lottery winners and the author of Life Lessons from the Lottery, says many winners struggle with suicide, depression, and divorce. It is the curse of the lottery because it made their lives worse instead of improving them, he says. You know, I may not know much, but I do know this. Wealth is a lousy God. Mammon is a terrible God. And I'll tell you what, we see Jesus here starting to recognize in this society this heart pull towards mammon. And he's like, guys, this is not good. This will not work. I'm telling you, going after that is not going to get you where you think you want to go. You cannot serve both mammon and God. No one can serve two masters, he says. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. Now, when it comes time to receive an offering in a church setting like this, and God starts to knock on people's hearts and he starts to give you, you know, an amount on your heart that you feel drawn by God to give, depending on your perspective or depending on who is God in your heart, you see this moment from completely different perspectives. See, if mammon or if wealth is your God and you think that that's what my hope is in, then giving that to anyone or to anything is seen as a loss. It has left my hands and it is now gone. I no longer have the thing that I was hoping in, and so I've had to give something that I have put my trust in, and the pain associated with that leads to despising God. And so people either give grudgingly, oh, take my money, that's what I should do. Or they don't give at all because they're just like, I refuse. I'm not going to do that. But both of those things help us to see where our heart is at. On the other hand, when God challenges someone to give and he is their God, they are like, you know what? This gift is not lost. This gift is an opportunity that God has presented to me where I can walk in the truth of the kingdom of God and see his purposes come to pass. Proverbs 11:24 says this, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Now that's the economy of the kingdom of God. Giving freely, yet receiving even more. It says another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And that's the mentality of mammon, the mentality of this wealth. I have to keep it to myself, hoard it to myself, hold on to it to myself. This is where my hope lies. You eventually become poor. Under God, giving is never a loss. God wants you to walk in the kingdom truth of generosity. The next verse in Proverbs after that verse, verse 25, says this, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So we want to ask ourselves the question, who is my God? Where is my heart? Who is it that I am trusting in? Who is it that I am looking towards? Now, we see here that, with Solomon's story, that his heart is tested. And like I said before, truth has an interesting way of revealing itself. So you can say whatever you want, but you know, there are these moments where the truth is revealed. Now there's several things that uncover truth. One of them is pressure. Pressure squeezes out the truth. I was watching a news clip the other day and it was of that like runaway cruise ship or whatever. And like everyone's sort of watching this thing. And then you start to see everyone get like progressively more panicked as this thing sort of, it's not slowing down. And they're all sort of like one by one, people start to be like start bailing. And the camera's like this, right? That's the screen. And you literally start seeing people running for their life, running, running, running. And then eventually it sort of slows down because no one's there left. No one's left still in the proximity. And then I see this little old lady in a walker, literally trying as hard as she can to get out of the way of this vessel. And I only see one guy for a moment hesitate, come back. He starts to try and undo a bollard. He can't undo it, so he knocks it down and bails. This little old lady on a walker is trying to escape a cruise ship that is coming in hot. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. These people, if you ask them, hey, would you help a little old lady across the road? They all would have said yes. You know what I'm saying? They all would have been like 100%. But then the pressure's on, boom. None of them are thinking about anyone else but themselves. I was like, that is when pressure reveals the truth. Another thing that reveals the truth is time. Time tells the truth. You can fight it, but it'll be revealed over time. You know, you may have whatever hair color you want in your hair, but give us a couple of weeks. Time is going to reveal the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's still gray. It's still whatever color it was before you dyed it. Time tells the truth. And the third one, pressure, time, and opportunity. Opportunity reveals the truth. And I want to focus on that just tonight as we are speaking about our offering, because next week we really are presented with an opportunity. It's an opportunity that God has given us as a church to rise in faith to or to let pass us by. It's an opportunity that God has presented in our calendar where we can be like, all right, God, what does this opportunity mean for me? And I truly believe that in the same way as with Solomon, that within this opportunity, God is asking you and God is asking me, what do you want? When we read Solomon's story, he is presented with this opportunity that will reveal a deeper truth. And let's see how he goes. So 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll start from verse 6. This is just after God said, ask, what shall I give you? Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Can you see in this private moment, in a dream before God, the heart of Solomon is revealed? He recognizes that he is under the lordship of God. And he says, you know what? It is your people. You are the one that has placed me here. I am not strong enough in my own strength. I need your help. Will you provide everything I need to fulfill and to lead with wisdom? I'm looking to you. And so he responds with this heart that says, I recognize who you are and I choose to seek your help. So what was revealed in his heart? Well, Solomon's response revealed the truth that he serves God and not wealth, not mammon, and not power. Now watch this, right? Watch God's response to his heart towards him. The next verse, verse 10, says this: the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will have been none like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. God's response says so much about this moment for Solomon. Because Solomon served God and not wealth, God was then free to pour out wealth in bucket loads on Solomon. Because God knew, no matter how much wealth I pour on Solomon, because wealth is not his God, he will use that wealth to serve me. Wealth is given to Solomon to serve God. There is this beautiful alignment of our heart before God. And who knows that God is not somebody who is poor. God is not somebody who does not have resources. And he says, this is a man I can trust because of his heart. You know, in Solomon's day, it was said of his rule that silver became as common as stones. Silver as common as stones. People would marvel at his wealth. Yet, Solomon never became enamored with wealth. Wealth never became his God. You know, at the dedication of the temple after 20 years, 24 years after ruling, he dedicated not 1,000 burnt cattle. Now he dedicated 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. Do you know there's another offering on top of those that he made? And it said in Chronicles, it said that you could not count, could not number the amount of sacrifices Solomon made to his God in that celebration of God's victory. Solomon never gave his life to wealth. And because wealth was not his God, God could give him as much wealth as he needed to fulfill what God had called him to fulfill. But sometimes we get this all mixed up, right? We start to, in our worship of wealth and money, thinking that that's what we actually need. We then go to God and we say, I want God to serve me as I serve wealth. And we pray prayers like, God, I need more money. God, I need a breakthrough in my finances. God, I actually need you. I need more. I need more stuff. Otherwise, I won't be happy. I need to get that thing that I've been wanting for so long. And if I don't get that, God, I can't be happy. And we start to ask God to serve us as we serve mammon, as we serve wealth. But God loves you so much that he will never bless that. He will never bless those prayers when our prayers are actually about creating a different God. A God that we think our hope will be in. And God's like, I can't bless that. But once we figure out who our God actually is and we turn our attention to him, then all of a sudden money, wealth, all these things are not something that own us. They are something that we own to the glory of God, that we get to use to see his kingdom advanced. Once the order is right, God is free to flow. Do you know, Solomon became a conduit of the purposes of God. He saw the temple built. He saw a palace built. He saw wealth come in bucket loads into the nation of Israel. But Solomon's success is not just Solomon's success. It's actually a picture of alignment. It's a picture of worship. It's a picture of when you recognize who God is. And in your heart, you submit yourself to Him. And once you recognize Him as God, everything else can begin to flow. I want to live in alignment. I want to live in worship. And you know what? It does take resources to fulfill purpose. There is a destiny on this church to reach more and more people, you know, in our future than we have ever seen reach before, and it will take resources. But who knows? God is not short of resources. God is not worried about where the money's going to come from. He's not coming to you and me and being like, oh, guys, can you help me out? I want to do something good in this area. He is actually saying, guys, when you're ready, I'm ready. When you are ready, I am ready. You know what? God is not limited. He's not worried. He's not anxious. He is just saying, who in this place has a worshiping heart that I can just pour out my blessing upon, because they will not worship it. They will use it for the glory of God. Craig, I might get you to come up, and I'm just going to ask you to play some keys as we sort of run into the final part of my message. And there's this amazing scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, and it says this. It says, walk with me and work with me. This is Jesus talking. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Do you know, in Melanie and my life, this 2020 offering, our June offering, has actually become one of God's greatest gracious gifts and gracious rhythms that we have established in our life. I am so thankful to God that we have this in our life. Another rhythm of grace in our life is tithing. And, you know, every single time, the Bible, we believe, teaches us that when you receive an income, that we are to put God first. And so tithing for my wife and I has become this rhythm. It's part of our life. And every single time increase comes into our life, I'm presented with the question, who do I trust? 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 And every time I tithe, that is us putting action to our faith and saying, we trust God. 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 And I choose every single week to tithe because I always want to stay in that place of trusting God. So that rhythm in my life has become one of the greatest blessings to our marriage, to our family, and I believe to our future, because that rhythm has established this constant question, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? And our response to that question reminds us that we are people who trust God, who trust God, who trust God. Do you know, this June offering for us is another rhythm similar to that. But for us, as I was thinking about it, this rhythm, we ask the question, what do we want? What do we want? What do we want? Every time it comes around at this time of the year, we start to ask ourselves the question, what do we want? What do we want? What do we want? What do we want? And I tell you, it's a great heart check, because sometimes you start to feel God stirring you to give, be generous. And part of you starts to be like, yeah, but we can't really afford that. Or yeah, I don't really want to give that up. But this question of giving every single year that comes around, because Melanie and I take this seriously. This isn't something we just sort of, you know, chuck a few bucks in. This is something we pray about. This is something we ask God to lead us in. And we actually go, God, use this opportunity to reveal where my heart's at. Where's my heart at? And do you know what? The action to our faith when we give next week will be the response of our heart, which says, you know what, God? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? I want to see, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people healed. I want to see more people set free. God, I want to see your hand be upon my daughter and our family and our future. God, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. And this faith action blesses us with the opportunity to put action to our faith and do something in response to where our heart is at. And I'm so grateful for the regularity of it, because you know what? A lot can happen in a year. You can find yourself trusting in many different things. But God uses this for us to bring us back to a point of, hey, who do you trust and what do you want? And when I come to that point where I go, you know what? I actually want to see God's will done on this earth. I want to see God do everything He has called us to do as individuals and as a church. You know what? That's the opportunity that we have next week. Will this be something God wants from you? Or will this be something you want to give God? And this week, I tell you what, I want to encourage you. Come on, let's not treat this flippantly. Let's actually come into next week's offering just having checked our hearts, saying, God, where am I at? God, is this, am I giving this begrudgingly? Am I just doing this because I should or because I have to? Or God, am I at a place where my heart is sweet, my heart is soft, and I am in joy? I am giving like Solomon gave. He gave so much he couldn't even count it. Is that where my heart's at? And we're going to take a minute just, you know, after I pray for some people, just to open up the altars, and we'll just finish with a moment where we're going to say, God, I'm just opening up my heart and I'm asking you just to speak to me, to stir me, to do a bit of a heart check on me. But before we jump into that, you know, I said at the beginning of the service that, you know, at the end of my message, I'd give people a chance to respond to God. And I really want to do that right now. And so here's what I would love to do. If everyone in the room could just close their eyes for a moment. I ask you to do that because I want you to be able to focus. I want you to be able to make this moment about you and God. Don't get distracted about the people around you. And also to give people a moment's privacy, because this is a really powerful moment. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it is a simple prayer. A simple prayer that says, God, I trust you and I choose to make you my God. I don't know what you've been worshiping, but we all worship something. Tonight you're saying, you know what? I let it go and I'm choosing you. So I want to pray this prayer. And if you tonight in your heart are saying, you know, I need God. I need whatever this guy is talking about. I need to know that there's more to life than I can see, that I want you to pray this prayer after me from your heart. And everyone in the room is going to pray it as well so that you're not alone. So let's do that right now. Dear Jesus, tonight I give you my heart. I thank you that you love me and that you gave up your life for me. Tonight I give my life back to you. I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior, the one in whom I trust. From this day forward, I pray you would forgive my sins, give me hope to my future. Walk with me, talk to me, and live in me. In Jesus' name. Just while our eyes are closed, if tonight you prayed that prayer from your heart, God heard it. God heard it. And you have been made right with Him. Just simply by believing in your heart, praying that prayer out, you are right with God. And I would love to pray for you. And just so I know who I'm praying for, I'm just going to ask whoever just prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've come back to God after walking by yourself for so long tonight, just so I know who I'm praying for, I'd love you to respond. And I would love everyone to keep their eyes closed. I've just asked a few people to help me so I don't miss anyone. But besides that, if everyone could just keep their eyes closed, and if tonight you're in this room and you prayed that prayer for the first time, can I just ask you wherever you are, just raise your hand. Say, that's me. Tonight, I'm giving my heart to God. Yeah, great decision, man. So good. Who else tonight is like, I prayed that prayer and I opened up my heart to God and I, yeah, awesome, up there as well, so good. Yeah, up there as well, so good. Who else tonight? And that prayer, you meant it from your heart and you just know that that was a moment between you and God, wherever you are, just so I know who I'm praying for, just chuck your hand up. Fantastic. Let me pray for you like I said I would. God, I just thank you for these beautiful people. Lord, I thank you that you just want to bless us, love us. God, you just want us to know your goodness. And I thank you, God, that whenever anyone turns to you, Jesus, no one is turned away. They are all accepted, welcome, with welcome, open arms, God. We just thank you so much that these people have begun a journey that will never end. I pray your blessing upon them right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, come on, give it up for all those people who made that decision.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.